It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley right now getting to the BetQL guest line to talk to our friend from Masson Sports, Dan Kolko. Dan, what's up, dude? How are you?
Fellas, I'm well. How are you?
We're good, dude. Listen, I think with this Nat season, unless you just were completely lying to yourself, everybody kind of knew what to expect here. Rebuilding year with some exciting young pieces coming up. I mean, they're going to probably outperform their Vegas win total by the end, like this week or next. I think they're right up against it. Now you got Cruz up. Like, there's just – how do you feel like – from what your expectations to where Washington is now in early September have fared?
Well, I think Nats fans and those of us around the team went into this season knowing that we would have to judge the team not just based on wins and losses. And I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, given that's the nature of the business. You're judged by and large based on how many games you win, how far you make it in the playoffs. But this year, given where they're at rebuilding-wise, you wanted to see growth for the team, but maybe more specifically, a lot of these young players. And, you know, there's been ups and downs, as you're going to have with any prospects, with any young players. And I think, by and large, there's been a lot to like this year. C.J. Abrams has struggled over the last couple months, but he's had some really good months as well and has played a better shortstop this year than he played last year. Luis Garcia Jr. has really come along in his development, at 24 years of age. So he's looking like a piece for the future. And then you get these young pitchers and outfielders up here, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Jacob Young, and in the rotation, guys like Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore and Mitchell Parker and DJ Hers. And you start to see now the bones of what the front office feels like could be their next championship team. You'll have to supplement that obviously with some free agents this winter and some power. I think most specifically, you got to find some guys that'll hit the ball out of the ballpark because this team has lacked that for a few years now. But we're at a different point in the development than we have been the last couple years, where in September, it's just a lot of, you know, no offense to guys at the end of their careers, but kind of placeholder type players. Michael Franco's and Cesar Hernandez and guys like that that are just kind of filling out a spot until you're able to get the young guys up. And a lot of the young guys are here now. More are to come. And so, yeah, it's not going to be a postseason year for the Nationals this year. We kind of expected that coming in, but I think there's been a lot of growth and optimism for the future.
And it gives you a lot of hope for the future, I think, as well, because the young guys that have come up are performing well.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first step is getting guys through the minor leagues, getting them to make their big league debut, and then it's all about what can they do once they're here. And, you know, the jury's still out on a lot of these guys, but you've seen growth, you've seen progression, and, you know, hopefully there's more of that to come this final month and into next year.
Well, I think, like, for the outfield, talking with Dan Kolko from Masson Sports, watch him every night on Nats games. Everybody knows who Dan is. In the outfield there, is that the outfield of future? Wood, Cruz, Young? Like, is that what we see opening day next year?
It certainly could be. I mean, Jacob Young should win a gold glove this year in center field. He's been the best defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball this year. His bat has progressed over the course of the last few weeks. He's not quite at a league average sort of offensive side of his game. The bat still needs to develop. But when you're talking about a guy that excels on one side of the ball like he does defensively, you can deal with a little bit of, you know, a below average bat with his speed, with his ability to steal bases and impact the game on the base paths. You feel like Wood and Cruz are certainly, you know, some of the big building blocks for the future. Where will they play defensively? I don't know. I think some people think Dylan Cruz could be a center fielder in the future. And, you know, there's other young outfield talent in the national system that they're really high on. Robert Hassel III, Dalen Lyle, Andrew Pinckney just got promoted to AAA. And then there's always the possibility of getting a free agent outfielder. And then in that sort of a case, Jacob Young could be a super skilled fourth outfielder for you. So you feel good about Wood and Cruz in two of those three outfield spots, and then you'll see. But Jacob Young has really made an impact this year defensively, and if he can continue to develop on the offensive side of the ball, there's a chance he could be the Nats center fielder of the future.
Cruz and Wood are obviously the guys that have arrived that have the most excitement. What are like fair comps for those guys? Kind of looking back at somebody, I don't know. They're hard to describe, I would say. I'm curious if you've thought about that at all.
Yeah, it's tough. I personally, you know, I'm not a scout, and I personally don't love comps just because I think it kind of puts guys in a box a little bit. I will say that there are very few 21-year-olds that have come up and controlled the strike zone the way that James Wood has. You watch him on a night-in and night-out basis, he rarely goes outside of his game plan. He rarely expands the zone, and he hits the ball so freaking hard. It's unbelievable the sound that come off his bat. So you pair up those two skills, and he's got the potential to be a special offensive player, and he's still just 21. He'll have to try and elevate the ball a little more going forward and turn those hard line drives into balls that go off the wall or over the wall. But there's a super high ceiling on James Wood offensively. Dylan Cruz is, you know, he does everything well. So, you know, I've heard people compare him to maybe like an Andrew McCutchen type of guy, or maybe Corbin Carroll with slightly less speed. But he's a guy that can steal you, you know, 25, 30 bases a year, that can hit 20-plus homers for you, that can hit for a pretty high average, that can get on base a good bit. He works tough at bats. So he's a guy that is not going to wow you necessarily with one side of his game or one specific skill, but is just a really well-rounded ball player that's going to impact your team positively for a number of years.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The one thing that I don't know the right way to phrase this, but when the Nats were kind of outperforming expectations, at least the first couple of months of the season, it was a lot of it was on the strength of starting pitching. And, you know, Rizzo does his interview with the Junks every week, and I always try to listen to it because, well, I think Mike's really smart. I think he's really good at what he does, right? And he has this saying where he always says, "Yeah, it means like take a season in its entirety, and then start to build that out over seasons, and you get a real look at who somebody is." And I feel like the pitching kind of regressed to the mean a little bit. Like what? What does their starting rotation look like next year?
It's a good question, JP. I think that you've got a lot of guys now that will be in the mix, and it's up to those guys to tell you where they slot in the future. Are they a middle of the rotation type guy? Can they be a strong number three starter for you in the big leagues? Are they more of a number five guy? Are they long relief? Mm-hmm. Are they somebody that, you know, goes up and down from AAA to the majors over the course of, you know, their career? It's going to be on Mitchell Parker and DJ Hers and these type of guys to show you, because all of them, Mackenzie Gore too, and I think Jake Irvin has been the most consistent of the four of them this year, but the other three have all had really high highs and somewhat low lows. They've had stretches where they've struggled, where they haven't been able to get deep into games, where maybe they get hit around a little bit, but they've all flashed incredibly high potential and ceilings. So, you know, can Mackenzie Gore be a number two starter for you in the big leagues? There are a lot of people that say absolutely he can. The work ethic, the demeanor, the way that he approaches his starts, the stuff is filthy. But you have to you know, you have to work deep into games. You have to be consistent to be that type of guy in the big leagues. The other guys, you know, the Nats, I would say, have more rotation depth than they've had in a while at this point. But in order to be a team that wins in the postseason, Mike Rizzo has also said this, JP, over the course of his tenure here in D.C., he believes that with starting pitching, everything is possible, and without it, nothing is possible. And so for a team to win in the postseason, you got to have two, three guys at the top of a rotation that you feel really good about giving the ball to in a must-win game. And we'll see if any multiple, all of these guys for the Nats can be that type of pitcher in the future.
It's I don't know, man. I want to maybe end this on a really cool note. Darren Baker gets called up. B, I don't know if you have seen this story, but it's very cool. What do we think of Darren? And just, you probably know Dusty very well from his time in Washington. How cool of a moment must that be?
Yeah, it's awesome. I you know, everyone that interacts with Dusty loves Dusty, and honestly, it's the same with Darren. It's not a surprise that he's just a tremendous human being, and he's been around big league clubhouses since he could barely walk. So it kind of, in a way, always felt like this was where he was meant to end up. It was a, you know, certainly not an easy road for him to get here. He's not a big guy physically. He's, you know, maybe 5'10", 5'11". He's strong, but he's not huge. And, you know, what is he going to be at the big league level going forward? I don't know. The Nats have a second baseman that they like in Luis Garcia Jr. Darren Baker has played some left field as well to try and turn himself into a more versatile player. But just from a sheer story standpoint, it's awesome. He's a really good kid. He worked really hard and got the call up the other day with his dad at Nats Park. He singled on the first pitch that he saw as a big leaguer. And despite the fact that the Nats were down really big in that game, that put a smile on everybody's face. So awesome moment for the Baker family. And yeah, we'll see how much playing time Darren gets down the stretch here, but mission accomplished for him, checking that first box in the big leagues, and hopefully there's more to come.
Well, dude, it's so crazy and weirdly full circle. I really liked Rizzo's comments about Darren Baker. I should have said this earlier. Dusty Baker obviously managed the Nationals for a few seasons. Dusty's a all-time character in baseball as a player and then as a manager all over the place, won a ring with the Astros a couple years ago. This is Dusty's son, Darren, and perhaps the most, until now he's in the big leagues, what people remember about this, do you remember, I think it was the 0-2 World Series, when his son was almost the bat boy and almost got trucked with a play at the plate.
I remember that.
And JT Snow had to grab him up and let him go, and now he's in the big leagues. That's the right son, right?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay. I didn't know. Maybe there was another Baker that I was mixing up.
He knows how to get out the way on the bases. I can tell you that.
Now he does.
I bet he does. Koga, I'm curious, dude. Do you, like, you've got, you know, 3 weeks left of a ton of baseball here. Do you get into football mode? Like, do you do fantasy, betting, DFS, any of it? Like, what does a hardcore baseball dude do when that season, that grind finally comes to a halt?
He takes a nice long nap. He grabs a cold beverage at some point and reminds Attaboy. His friends and family that he's still alive. I love... I love baseball. I love what I do. I'm incredibly fortunate to do it. At the end of the season, it's nice to decompress and just kind of spend time with the people you care about. But yeah, man, I love football. I love getting together with friends and watching games on Saturdays and Sundays. And maybe, you know, finding a little game that you care about and investing
in a cold beverage
in it a bit. But yeah, it's kind of like a teacher's schedule in a way, but reversed. Seasons that you go hard for, you know, 7 months out of the year, and then the other five you get a chance to relax and just kind of catch up with people. I do some college basketball broadcasting as well, but it's good to unwind once baseball is done, because it's a long It's a long, grueling season, but it's a ton of fun, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
For sure.
It's a grind, man.
I know you went to Einstein. Did you grew up here, right? Did you grow up a Skins fan, or did you not have
a
team?
Yeah.
How did
yeah,
that all shake out?
I grew up in Silver Spring. I went to Einstein, went to University of Delaware. And, yeah, grew up a Skins fan. Actually covered the Baltimore Ravens for 4 years before making my way over to the Nats beat. So that was
okay.
A little odd for a football-obsessed D.C. native kid. But yeah, I still follow the Commanders. I still follow the Ravens, and I'm looking forward to football being underway. It's kind of crazy that it's here already.
I know, man. What do you think about Jaden Daniels? Like, what do you think about Washington this year?
I'm obviously he's got a lot of talent, and he's got some weapons around him. I'm going to be honest; I haven't followed kind of his path through training camp and OTAs too closely.
You've been kind of busy.
A little busy on the baseball side of things.
Because you got 16-hour days every day.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah. I think that, you never know what you're going to get out of a rookie quarterback. And we've seen, you think back to Peyton Manning's rookie season when he threw just that insane number of interceptions and everyone thinks he's a bust.
Right,
and then
he
becomes a Hall of Famer and one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I think you can't really, not that it's going to stop people from judging a rookie quarterback too quickly because that's what we do, but it's hard to, put too much focus or emphasis on what he does early on. But I think you got to be excited about the ownership group that they have in place, the front office that they've put in place, and the young quarterback that they've drafted and are really high on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Last one, who's going to win the AL East?
Oh, that's really tough. I think, it's funny. Everyone's been talking the last month about how poorly the Orioles have played, and they were the first team, I believe, in Major League Baseball to get to 80 wins. They were playing at just an obscene pace there for a while, and, yeah, they've dropped off a little bit. If I'm choosing between the two teams at the top of the division right now, I'm going to take the Yankees. I think they just have a little bit more in the way of dominant starting pitching. They got to figure out their closer spot, but the Orioles kind of have to figure out the back end of their bullpen too. They've had some issues there. Two super talented teams, and I think that's going to be one that goes down, to the last few games of the season. We're going to have an interesting last homestand at Nats Park with the Royals coming into town and then the Phillies to close out the year, so that'll be two teams that'll be jockeying
for
playoff seeding. Yeah, and a chance for the Nats to play spoiler. And it'll be really interesting to watch the AL East that final week as well. I think that could come down. One of the few divisions that I think will come down to the final couple games.
Well, one thing about Davey, and I've said this before, that I love is his teams play hard till the end, man. Sometimes, a club knows they're not in contention and they kind of pack it up that last month and kind of really lose some games badly. And not that every game's going to be a poem, but I feel like Davey keeps his guys locked in until September 30th or whatever the last game is.
Yeah, he's certainly been known for that over the course of his time here in D.C., obviously the championship team finished really strong in the regular season. And even some of the teams that have not had good records down the stretch, have played really well over the last few years. The last, handful of games on the previous homestand, over the weekends, it was some sloppy ball against the Cubs, and Davey made it known to his guys that that's just not acceptable, that, you're going to make physical errors, but in terms of the mental errors, in terms of the focus, that's not going to fly under his watch. And he's a guy that believes in playing every game as hard as you possibly can. And he's going to make sure that these young players who don't have a lot of big league experience and are probably pretty mentally fried and a little physically fried right now, give it everything they have over the final, whatever it is, 25 games.
Yes, sir. Dan, thank you for the time,
appreciate
man.
You,
really appreciate you making time.
All right, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Take care, too, man. Dude. That's Dan Kolko from Massive Sports. Great interview there. Enjoyed talking some baseball in there. We got a lot of football we're going to have to get to. Significant moves being made out in Ashburn as it is Wednesday of week one. But listen, it is week one. The NFL starts tomorrow night. There's a lot to be excited about, but you got to be smart. It's September, and it's only the start of football, but it's also Responsible Gaming Education Month. If you decide to get in on the action this season, the American Gaming Association wants to remind listeners to have a game plan when it comes to betting. A solid game plan includes betting with legal sports books only, knowing the odds, keeping it fun, and sticking to a budget. Please go to haveagameplan.org to learn more. Brought to you by 106.7 The Fans, proud, responsible game.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Gaming partner, the American Gaming Association.
I'm B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, as we come to you live from Commander's Park. And you just heard the breaking news. Sam Cosmi signs a four-year deal. Dan Quinn is talking to me. I'm sure he'll be asked about that. Let's throw to Dan.
This is a really good coach and part of the alumni group, but not this week. So, but Todd's an excellent coach, and when we've matched up against numbers of times, and a lot of respect for him. Offensively, when you think about Tampa, there's playmakers, you know, and there's outside at receiver and at running back as well, and quarterback. And so that presents the challenge, you know, for the defense, you know, quarterback who can extend plays and receivers with size to go extend plays. And so those are, you know, definitely the ones that I've certainly been impressed by the back. This is a true every down back that you can get this many catches, this many runs. And that doesn't happen as much anymore in our league. And so respect for that. Defensively, this is a group that's really known for their blitz package. I think that's one of the things, you know, through the years with Todd that, you know, always been impressed with by watching their teams, the run defense, and then for them some playmakers both at safety, you know, linebacker, and a defensive line. They've kept a, you know, deep crew, it feels like, for a while, you know, a defensive line and some good ones. Then I think the special teams matchup, everybody's kind of smiling and waiting to see. They've got a good kicker, punter, and then we're all wanting to see on kickoff and kickoff return what that looks like. And, you know, we'll see it all. We can get it all. Some weather, maybe some thunderstorms. So, like, everything's on the table, and it's a great matchup. These are two tough teams that are going to have to really battle for it. And that's exactly, you know, kind of what you're looking for in your opening game to get rolling. So, all that said, why don't we get started?
So, speaking of the blitz package, you have a rookie quarterback going, obviously, in Jaden. What are some of the characteristics that you feel he has that maybe makes him a good fit to go against that kind of defense in his first game?
Yeah, it's a good question because of you have to be able to process quickly, John, because part of the blitz package is showing blitz, getting out, showing blitz, bringing it. And that's part of the disguise that goes with that. And so for Jaden, the ability to process things quickly, sometimes as a quarterback, you need to speed it up. In terms of, okay, this is an unblocked player, we're only protecting with five, they're bringing six, how do we get it, you know, to the playmaker and get yards in that way? So it's one of the things that, you know, he's been strong with, decision making and the ability to speed it up.
Are you able to, because you have the experience on the defensive side of the ball, you've gone against Todd, how much are you able to help Jaden just with the way you think and maybe transferring it to Todd? You know, is there a similarity, and can you help his thought process just by your experience?
Yeah, I think you want to make sure, you know, like everybody's got their key things and their regular tools. This is, you know, how we play and what we do. Every team, you know, has some small wrinkles, especially, John, the first game of the season. It's something I've been working on through the offseason. I've been digging into. But more than anything, yeah, just looking at looks, what, you know, a certain look or a call may look like or not. And so, yeah, going through some of those with the offensive staff, that's kind of where I can help on that side of things.
You guys obviously just extended Sam Cosmi. First vet you guys have done something like that with here. What, why him? Why did you decide he was a guy that you felt you needed to keep?
Yeah, I think that's a cool day for him, for his wife Blair, his daughter Claire, who are here, and so for Adam and his staff to get that done prior to the season. That's a big deal. And this guy's a commander, you know, through and through. He's tough. He plays square. He's strong. And we really, you know, are fortunate that he'll be an anchor inside, you know, for years to come. It's a big deal.
And to stay with the offensive line, obviously you'll be practice a few minutes. What's your expectation or hope with Brandon this week, both in terms of practice and maybe possibly starting on Sunday?
Yeah, for the practice part first, we're definitely aiming towards playing and getting into that. And so I'll probably have a better instance for him and a couple of the guys all the way through the practice week. But it's sure been good to have him back out there and going through it, you know, for practice last week and into this week as well. So it's definitely good to have him back out. But as far as the game, let's let practices play out some more.
Hi, Dan. Obviously, it's only one game, but how does the season opener maybe set the tone a little bit for the season?
Yeah, I don't know if it sets the tone, but there is, you know, you want to make sure your identity's right, you know, and how we play. I think that's an important part of things because it is one game, but it's an important one because we get to, you know, show our identity, our style, and how we like to play. And so there's lots of lessons, you know, that you learn, and you've heard a number of times teams improve from game one to game two. Well, there's also some lessons that you learn in the preseason, you know, that you find out and things you're excellent at, things you need to work at. But more than anything, I think, you know, when you and our fans watch us play, they're going to see, man, these guys are really tough. They really bring it. They finish on plays. And if the identity comes across like that, oftentimes the wins, you know, as you're moving through the season, you know, go in your favor based on that type of play style of attitude and how we do things. So we're really looking forward to showing that.
What have you seen from this team over the last couple of weeks that makes you believe this team is ready to go on Sunday?
Way deeper than just the last couple of weeks. I think going into training camp, you know, we knew this was going to be a tough camp. We were going to put them in tough spots, work a lot of game management situations, a couple trips on the road. So we wanted to test the players and put them into difficult spots. We had a lot of competitions that we wanted to go through. So those were the markers, you know, that I was looking for. And then as you get closer to it, now some of the roles start to emerge and how guys can be featured in those specific roles. So when you go from 90 down, now these puzzle pieces all start to come together. And so those were the markers I've seen leading up to it, the road trips, you know, the practices against other teams, our practice against one another, that we just kept improving. And that's usually, you know, what I'm looking for, to see a team that's always, you know, looking to compete and improve.
Tobel's experience as a play caller is pretty well known now, but the Buccaneers have a new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. Like,
right.
Defensively, what are you going to, how are you prepare for the unscouted looks that you're inevitably going to see against with a team that hasn't really established their identity offensively yet?
Yeah, that's part of the, you know, the first game and what that looks like. So what you try to do is look back into some systems, you know, into some that Liam's been a part of. He's been a play caller, you know, in college, been part of the Rams system, and they had a little bit of that last year. So he'll have his own flavor for sure. This is a really good coach that'll have his own way. It's not, you know, if you had a playbook and I had a playbook, we wouldn't call the game in the same exact fashion. So I think you'll have some things you have to adjust in the games, and the teams that usually do that the best and adjust the quickest, you know, those are the ones that can, you know, punch through some of those things that are different than you expected. And I think you have to go into the games expecting the unexpected, and you have rules and contingencies for those. But by and large, you look for the system first.
And you've often talked about how good the pre-snap communication is with this defense over training camp. Like, how important is that going to be for week one?
It's really important because of the one, the shifts, the motions, and having that ability to go. One good part of that is going against our offense really provides some challenges. And so there's communication, there's difficult scheme, there's a lot of things you have to deal with as well. So having to go against our own offense on a regular basis, that pushes the communication up and certainly tests you on some plays. But more than anything, you know, just making sure we're rock solid in terms of the way we play and communicate.
Hey, Dan, you have spoken a lot about the self-evaluation you've done,
right,
of yourself. I just wonder how you think that's going to show up on the sideline Sunday.
That's an awesome question, Dave. I would say I've seen a lot of that, you know, that I've done, you know, up leading into now, and I probably felt it some in the preseason. You know, the first game I was you know, kind of worried about, okay, who's in, who's out. In the preseason, there's so much subbing to who's in, to who's going out. And I was pretty intentional about going into, like, game two and three to make sure I was into that space of what I needed to do, and knowing the clarity that I needed for Cliff and for Joe and for Larry. And so I really was intentional about that on the headphones to put myself into that spot, even if we weren't going to, you know, attempt a fourth down. Like in the last game, I wanted to give Cade some opportunities when they were there, but there would have been some spaces, hey, in a normal spot, this is a time we'd go, this is a time we'd punt. And so I went through that process to get there. And so that's my thing that I can do best on game day, is make sure I'm making really clear, good decisions. But I really tried to put myself in those spaces as much as I could, so when those moments come, then I'm ready to deliver for the team.
I've asked other coaches this over the years. Who tells you the truth?
You need some truth tellers in your life. Yes. Yeah, I would say Stacy first, as the number one truth teller. But it's important on our staff that we have that. And so, you know, it's helped a lot, guys like Anthony and Cliff, you know, because they've sat in the chair. And so that is a real advantage. And I ask for that kind of communication back from the staff. And so sometimes it takes a little while for someone to get there, and then you can say, man, I really appreciate that feedback. Next time you have that, I'd like that again. And so now more people are willing to do that. It's not an act of questioning, but it's really giving some feedback. Have you thought about? And so I really value those times, David, and having some truth tellers on that side. And Adam's been good with that too, because on practice or on a game day, you know, he's got a different view and a different lens on that. So between Stacy, between the coaches on the staff and Adam, I think I'm really fortunate that I've been surrounded by some people that care enough to tell you the truth.
Hey, Dan, you talked in preseason about not doing a lot of game planning, obviously, for the preseason games. How have you seen kind of the demeanor around the building change as we get into kind of the first game week? Have you seen guys kind of lock in more, get more, you know, kind of focused on the task at hand?
Yeah, I think as coaches, we also wanted to make sure these are the things that you do really well, and we're going to rehearse them all week. But when you get to the game, like, you absolutely can go do your thing at full speed because you've played a lot of reps at it. So there's not going to be things that we're doing in the game that we haven't done out here on the field. And so there's a lot of confidence and trust in that, knowing that, like, you've put the work in. Now you get to this spot and get to the moment. What you want to make sure you don't over, you know, too much information. Who can handle this much? Who can handle less? And so that's kind of the art of the coaching side, to give the player that can handle some more, plenty, and the person that has too much, okay, don't worry about that. This, I want you to write down. This other stuff, don't worry about it. You know, like, we don't try to over trick it out for the defensive tackles and the guys inside. Go that way and absolutely wreck shop. And usually some good results come from that.
As many games as these guys have played in their lives, you've got a couple rookies who will get a lot of time.
Yep.
Is there a change when it comes to the regular season in the National Football League? And will you lean on some veterans to have a conversation with those guys who are going to get that time?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Chick, because of course there is. You know, like, it's, you know, like, they've been, like I told them, for the first preseason game, they've been dreaming about this their whole life. But guess what? You've been playing against really good NFL players all training camp. And as you get into the regular season, that bit of nervousness and fear, like, totally normal emotions to have. And so recognizing that, like, it's kind of getting you ready. And so having that ability and those conversations make it way easier. And what I'll say is, once we get on the field, man, it's going to be the same plays, the same stuff we had, the same execution that you do. So any of that nervousness that you had, man, like, I'll remind them at halftime, just like we were doing in Ashburn, man, like, sprinting off the ball, the tackling, the physicality, the speed, the communication, that doesn't change. And so, but it's anticipated that there'll be excitement on the game day. And so I'd rather talk about it, Chick, honestly, than not. And so, yeah, I'm very open with the guys and say, that's totally a normal emotion to feel. Big breath, blow it out. Now we go execute like we do, man. But yeah, totally normal and expected. We've got some mature rookies. Some that I wouldn't think of as rookies because they played a lot of college football. They've been around, but still, like, everybody remembers your opening day in the NFL, and it's a really cool day.
And you've been through enough opening days. What's the one thing you can't see from your guys?
Meaning, like, what?
The thing you don't want to see from
your guys? Yeah, I would think at the end of it, you know, like, our core principles, obviously, is, you know, taking care of the ball, going after it, you know, our tackling, you know, the communication that we need to see. Those are right at the core. So I want to see those every time we play. You know, the discipline usually wins out, you know, in an opening game, because the same nervous energy Tampa has on the same things, haven't seen this, you know, like both of them have that, you know, both teams have that. But who can have the discipline to pre-snap, post-snap, stay in it, play the next play, play the next one? And again, a game like this, it's going to be a hard fought. It's going to go all the way down to the end, and we'll be prepared for that, knowing that, like, good, tough games, it takes the whole game to win it. And we have no doubt this one's going to be a tough one for sure, and it'll take the whole afternoon and into the evening, and if it has to go past that, we'll be ready for that too.
All right, that's Dan Quinn talking to the media here. We're going to take us a quick break, but we'll be right back. But, hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have a little something different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can get $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook with the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, welcome back. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Dan Quinn just ending up his press conference here with the Commanders, and he went a long time. What was that y'all were laughing about so much today, Jake?
He had a good line, man. He was asked, you know, kind of so much has changed out here. And, I mean, you and I can speak to things, but certainly he can speak to stuff in the brief time he's been here. But he said when he got the job, you know, when Peters got hired, it was early January. And then when DQ got hired, it was early February. And so there was snow on the ground for most of that time because they don't clear the fields and stuff out here in the offseason.
Yeah.
And that the snow melted, and Adam Peters, for the first time, saw the AstroTurf field. And he said, "What the hell is that?" And DQ was like, "It's AstroTurf, bro." And as soon as, like, they had that conversation with Harris, it was like, yeah, get that out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of these things are just
– it was.
It AstroTurf. Was very funny.
It was AstroTurf that had a lot of seams that were messed up and cut spots, and it wasn't well taken care of. So it had to go.
Totally.
It had to go quickly.
Talked a lot about Cosme and why they wanted him to be a part of this. I think it makes just a ton of sense to get the Cosme's deal done. That's what you do with good players before they get to free agency.
You get them.
You lock them
up.
Yeah, man. I thought he was pretty interesting to me when I asked him about Jaden, about if he's going to do, you know, have a special conversation with him or something. And I loved the answer. It's like, you don't really need to do something special when you put the work in the whole time.
Yeah. True.
You know what I mean? Like, there are students that cram the night before the test, and there are students that get a good night's sleep because they go to class every day and they study and they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I imagine you were sleeping and I was cramming. Like, there's
I probably wasn't sleeping, but I wasn't cramming. Say it like that.
I think with – I legit think Jaden puts the work in at such a high level that we don't know what's going to happen on the field. We're aware that Vita Vea is a slimmed-down 325. Like we know what Antoine Winfield can do.
Yeah.
Like, we – you and I are crystal clear about the task at hand being difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, DQ opened his presser gushing about everything in Tampa, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of his line about Bowles? He's like one of our proud alumni, except this week.
Except this week. Yeah, you got to go after him. But, you know, I think the thing about it, Todd and also DQ, they're very similar in what they do. And I think, and what's called Locked On Law, he didn't want the canned answers. But the whole thing about DQ gives you more than most coaches ever do. And he understands Todd is trying to affect the young quarterback just like he would. And he wants to make he respects Todd because he also wants to see if Jaden can handle it. If Jaden comes out handling it, guess what? Todd's going to change up. If he doesn't, Todd's coming all game. You know what I mean? So he has to figure it out. And I think that's the ultimate thing. In this league, you're going to play against people. And the fact that you basically know that they're trying to do the exact same thing you're trying to do to a quarterback, they happen to have one that's been around a little longer. Okay, yes, he's had some ups and downs, but last year he seemed to have gotten it. Let's see if he still has it this year. You know, it's just like somebody give you a tip on the golf course. You do it when they tell you, you hit a good shot. Next two holes, you back to what you were doing before. Let's see if he goes back to what he was doing before. And let's see if Jaden continues doing the things he's been doing.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Can't wait for week one. Sounds like DQ can't wait either. You can tell just how excited he is. I loved he said of the coaching staff. He's like, yeah, we got some guys that have been through some fights.
Yes.
Dan Quinn, I feel like, was one Coors Light away from just going full Mike Tyson. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, he was just he was fired up. And I think fans will love that passion. Now, Sunday, you got to win games.
You have to win games.
You know what's about to be over, B? The honeymoon.
The honeymoon is over. I think ultimately, though, people understand that they're trying to build something for the long haul as well. You know, if it was still like it used to be where, we don't retool, we retool, then you expect to win a certain amount. There are going to be people that still believe that. But the people that really understand that and has been listening to them understand that they're telling you, look, we're trying to build this thing the proper way so we can have long, sustained success, not just something this year, a few games, or half a season.
You know who had sustained success all of last year? Maryland Governor Wes Moore, picking games. He joins us at 1:45. Nobody go anywhere.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.